We're going to pick up where we left off last week in the book of James, and then we're going to jump over to the book of Mark. And so I invite you to turn to James 5 with me as we begin today. We've been talking about prayer, and we've gone through 3 weeks of prayer, and this is our fourth and final week talking about prayer. I hope that you will start to put these things to practice in your life. Today we're talking about prayer for faith. That's the title for today. In week one, we talked about a heart posture for prayer, and I'm not going to go through those, but there's 7 heart postures. You can check online and listen to the sermon online if you missed that week and you want to catch those. In week two, we talked about practices of dependent prayer, talking about fasting and talking about persistent prayer. And then last week, we talked about praying for one another, and that's where we were reading in James. And in James chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 16, we read this. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. I hope you put that idea and that command to pray for one another into practice this week. I challenge you at the end of the service to maybe reach out to somebody this week and ask them how you could pray for them. I was able to reach out to several different men in the church and just ask them how I could pray for them this week, and I appreciate that they responded back openly with things that they needed prayer for. And people asked me, and so I was able to reply back to them openly what I needed prayer for. And so I really appreciate that, knowing that we're prayed for is a huge thing. But in verse 15, it has these 3 little words that kind of struck me last week, and I closed with this challenge of praying in faith, but it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick person. The prayer of faith. We're talking about healing both spiritually and physically, but that prayer of faith, do we pray like that? Do we have faith when we lift things up to the Lord in prayer, or are we just kind of seeing what might happen? Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to my first ropes course. You ever been to a ropes course before? Anybody? Basically, it's ropes up in a tree. Okay, ropes that are way up. It's like a giant tree fort, but there's ropes that you walk on and pieces of wood that you walk on. It's not platforms. It's not sidewalks way up high. It's ropes. And I'm pretty much scared of heights. Yeah, I am. They freak me out. I envision myself the entire time falling and splatting onto the ground. That's just what I envision. And so I went to this ropes course, and they tell you to go ahead and climb up this rope ladder thing that was kind of enclosed, but you still had to climb up this rope ladder. And then once you got to the top, they told you to go ahead and connect this carabiner to a wire up there because you had this harness on. But the harness was basically like underwear type thing, for lack of a better word. It was just on the bottom half of your body. And so I envisioned myself not only falling and splatting, but flipping upside down and slipping out of this harness, because that's what's going to happen. I just see it happening. And so I get up there, and I connect my carabiner, and I start walking around. And I don't walk around like a person who has faith in this harness at all. I walk around like someone who has absolutely no faith. I'm holding onto this rope as it's holding onto me, and I'm trying to grab this rope because I am not letting go no matter what. I have absolutely no faith in this thing. Once you get around the whole ropes course, it ends with a zip line. And at that point, you have to place your complete faith in that harness. And I still had no faith in this harness, that it was going to hold me. So instead of enjoying the zip line all the way down, I held on to the cord like this, all the way down, and I hit the tree on the other end, which they told me would not happen, but it did happen. last year, last summer, we had the opportunity to go on a cruise with our family, and they had a ropes course on the ship. Well, my fear of heights has gotten a little bit better. I don't crawl on the roof anymore. I can actually walk on top of a roof when I'm on top. I just walk slowly. And I don't necessarily envision myself splatting on the ground. I'm more envisioning myself slipping now. And so there's no splatting on the bottom. So I went on this ropes course on the boat because I thought, well, there's water underneath. That'll be much better because it's a really long way down to the water. I don't know. And so I went on this ropes course, and I actually felt pretty good about this one. I still kind of envisioned myself slipping out of this harness and falling to my death upside down for some reason. But I thought, I need to set an example here because my kids were with me this time. And so I had to be tough. And I put a little bit more faith in it, but I never really kind of let go of that rope because I still wanted to have full control. I didn't put my complete faith in that. I think sometimes that's how we treat prayer. We pray and we think it's going to work, and there's this if idea. We know the power of God. We know what he can do. We know his promises all throughout Scripture. But that prayer of faith, for some reason, kind of eludes us. And the joy of trusting in faith in that prayer eludes us because we try to still continue to do it under our own power, and we envision everything going wrong and nothing going right. There was a man in the book of Mark who approaches Christ for the healing of his son. And I think his approach is an approach that we take sometimes when it comes to bringing things to Christ. And I think his response to Christ is something that we can learn a ton from. And so I want to go to Mark and just look a little bit deeper at this idea of how do I have a prayer of faith life? How do I live that out on a daily and weekly basis? And what are some points that I can start to apply instead of just saying, I want to have a prayer of faith life, actually doing it. And so I invite you to turn to Mark with me. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we'll be starting in verse 14. And you'll be able to follow along on the overhead if you don't have your Bible today. You can also follow along in the chair Bibles that are in front of you. Verse 14 begins with this. When they came to the disciples, the they being Jesus, Peter, James, and John. They had gone up and they had seen the transfiguration of Christ, and then they're coming back to the other nine disciples. And it says, when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. All of a sudden, when the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran to greet him, the him being Christ. Then he asked them, What are you arguing with them about? Out of the crowd, one man answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't. He replied to them, You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. So they brought him to Jesus, to him. When the spirit saw him, it immediately convulsed the boy. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening to him? Jesus asked his father. From childhood, he said. And many times it throws him into a fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Then Jesus said to him, If you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. Immediately the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly coming together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then it came out, shrieking and convulsing him violently. The boy became like a corpse. So many said, "He's dead." But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood. After he went into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he told them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that we can come today to learn from your word. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand what you're teaching us through this passage here in Mark. How we can have that prayer of faith life. Lord, I pray that you'll speak today, that you will direct our hearts today. Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us today, and that you help us to take your word and to apply it to our lives, not forgetting it as we walk out the door. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I walk on those zip lines, and when I let go and I go on those zip lines, and when I walk on those ropes courses, I have basically no to little faith. The example I was telling you, when I was on the cruise ship, I came to that very last section of that zip line, and you had to actually let go and go on that zip line again, and you had to run out and let go. And I have this vision that someday I'm going to be able to do it, and I'm just going to be able to go like this. And I'm gonna be able to like spin around and enjoy the zip line. But for some reason, I did one of these things. I ran and I kind of like slowed down and I grabbed on and I kind of went and I didn't make it the whole way there. And so I stopped probably about 20 feet short of the other platform. And so I had to do one of these things. The whole way to finish. And it was ridiculous because I had little to no faith. And I don't want to have that kind of prayer life. I don't want to have that kind of no faith to little faith to hoping the if response to God. You see, I think many times when we approach God, we have this response like in verse 22 there. The response that the Father says, he says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us." The if response. I believe in God's power. I trust in God's power. I know he's the creator. I know anything's possible through him. But if, will it really happen? Could he really, would he really heal, work in my life? I don't want Christ to say like he did in verse 19 to the disciples, "You unbelieving generation, you unbelieving Rick, why don't you trust me? Why don't you have faith in what I can do?" And so how do I develop that faith prayer life? Well, I want to start out with two examples of non-developed faith prayer lives, of examples that we see in our everyday life that don't work in developing an approach to praying in faith. And the first one is in verse 15. Verse 15, the first approach to developing a prayer life of faith that does not work is the crowd-following approach, the Jesus-greeting approach. And that's what we see in verse 15. All of a sudden, when the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and they ran to greet him. We are surrounded, and many times we fall into the greeting Jesus approach of prayer, or the crowd following approach of prayer. When we do it in traditional times, like meals, or when someone is going through a hardship, someone is in pain, or someone is hurt, then, or someone has lost a family member, maybe before a group meeting, and we say, well, it's very traditional to pray before this, so we're just going to go ahead and then we're going to throw out a prayer. And we just kind of had this crowd mentality of this is how it's always been and this is how it's going to go. But there's very little faith base to that prayer. It's more of, well, this is what we do kind of prayer. That's why we see the crowd here. We see them run. Christ is coming, and we see them running to him, and they greet him. And it's like, hello, Jesus. This is what we do. And so, hello. Hi. Okay. Let's go on with what we're doing. And then the rest of the, whatever we're doing has nothing to do with Christ. The meal, the meeting, whatever it may be. And we fall into that. Does that show, do those moments of appearance of faith show our dependency on God? If we're just doing it in moments of our life, like when someone passes away. I see on Facebook, people post all the time, prayers going up for you. And I wonder, are prayers really going up? Because it's become more politically correct to say, I'm thinking of you. Does that show dependency if we're just throwing up a prayer in those moments? You see, I listed several different times of prayer, and one that always strikes me is weddings. Times of celebration of prayer. Times of tradition, which would be meal time, times of death, and times of obligation, where someone does like a moment of silence, is we call prayer now for some reason. Let's take a moment of silence, and so we just feel like, okay, I'm obligated to pray. You have 7 seconds during this moment of silence to pray, and so here you go. Ready? Moment of silence. Okay, I hope you got your prayer done. And I hope that you were able to actually address God. What? But weddings always strikes me because I'll go to a wedding that the family clearly has like no faith whatsoever, or they were raised in the faith. And so they go something like this, you know, we want you to pray before the meal. And I want to go, why? Why? Tell me why you want me to pray before the meal, because clearly you have no faith in God. This is just tradition for you, or what you expect is going to happen, and what you can pray for your own meal also. You don't need the pastor to pray for your meal. I don't do that. I want to do that, but I just go, okay, I'll pray. Do these times of tradition, these times where everybody's running to God, everybody's talking about God during those moments, do they really show that we have faith in him? Or are they just moments? They're good things. Those are times we should run to him. But are those the only times we run to God? When the crowd is running to God? Does that show that we genuinely rely and depend on God alone? If I have to answer that myself, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't show that I genuinely depend on him alone. And that I have faith in him alone. It shows more that I'm trying to do it on my own, trying to hold on with my own strength. It's like when I jump out on that zip line and I'm holding on with all of my strength and I am not letting go because I don't really truly have faith that that thing is going to hold me. And so I'm trying with all my own strength to hold myself up. That's the example I think that we see in the crowd. A second example that isn't really a prayer of faith life, second approach that doesn't work, is I see in verse 18. In verse 18, it talks about how the father brought the young boy to the disciples. And at the end of verse 14, it says, so I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't. I think this is the relying on others with no Jesus approach to prayer. relying on others with very little Jesus approach to prayer. You ever done it where you've gone to somebody with a need and you say, hey, could you pray for me about this? And they say, yes, you know, I'll pray for you about it. And then they want to give all their own opinions on what's going to happen or what you should do about it. But there was actually no prayer actually happening in that moment. When someone asks us to pray about something, why don't we ever just stop and say, can I pray with you now about this? Instead of just throwing out all our own opinions. You see, that this man brought his son to the disciples, and instead of directly taking the son to Christ, they tried everything under their own power to heal him. And it didn't work in the end. And just brought about frustration in the end. It'd be like if you went onto a ropes course and instead of relying on the harness that would hold you and should hold you and will hold you, you start to hold each other's hands and you walk through the ropes course like this. And all of a sudden one of you sways and the other one sways and you're just pulling each other up and down. Looking at that response, I think many times I have failed in doing that. Where someone has come to me and said, would you pray for me? And I say, yes, I'll pray for you. And then I never even take it to Christ. Because I think for some reason, just saying, yes, I'll pray for you is good enough. Then actually taking it to him, it's not. And so I was convicted of that several years ago. And so now whenever someone comes to me and says, hey, would you pray for me? I try to stop immediately and pray. That way, one, I'm not lying. And two, I'm showing that that's exactly what I'm going to do. We are utterly dependent on Christ to work. And so I'm going to pray. So before I leave the parking lot, before I receive a text message, before I go anywhere else, I lift it up then and there. Yes, I will pray for you. And I do it. A while back, my dad set an example for me that kind of struck me, and he prayed for me when I called him one day on the phone, and he said, hey, let's pray now. And I was like, you pray over the phone? What are you talking about? And it was like, yeah, it was a little strange the first time I did it, but we did it. We prayed over the phone, and it was just like, for some reason, we think God can't communicate when we're communicating over the phone with somebody. I don't know. And so it was odd, but it was like, really neat at the same time because I brought a prayer request to my father and he did it instantly instead of waiting and saying, yes, I'll do it. He did it then. And so I've kind of started to do that sometimes with people. I just pray over the phone. It's a little odd at first when you do it, but you're instantly showing your dependence and faith in God alone. Instead of giving your opinion on what needs to happen, you're saying, let's see God's opinion. Let's see God's work together now. Thank you for coming to me. Let's go to Jesus. And ultimately, that's the response the disciples should have had there of thank you for coming to us, but let's go to Jesus. Because ultimately, that man was trying to bring his son to Jesus. So what is the faith? What is this prayer of faith? How do we establish this prayer of faith? I want to go through five points, and we'll make them as quick as possible. But there's five points to establishing this prayer of faith that we see in this passage. And before we even get into this one, I want to read you four different verses here. Go ahead and flip to the next screen. Flip to the next overhead. There we go. We need to establish this. Where does faith come from? How do I have this faith to begin with? Here we read in John, and it says this. Jesus replied, It is the work of God that you believe in the one he has sent. Okay? Where does any faith come from? It is God's work in us. He is the reason that we have any faith to even believe in him in the first place. And so he is the reason that we have faith to trust in him in prayer also. And so establish this. That faith comes from God. It starts with him and continues from him. Next, we read in John 6, verse 44 through 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Taught by who? By God. Everyone who listens and learns from the Father comes to me. Romans 12, verse 3 says, For by the grace given to me, I tell anyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Who distributes our measure of faith? God has distributed a measure of faith to each one of us. God has established the faith within us. Philippians 2, verse 26 and 27, and verse 29 says this, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes through the gospel. Where does faith come from? It comes through the gospel. What is the gospel? It comes through the message of Christ's life and what he did for us. So faith comes through Christ. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf. What has been given to you? The faith that we have through the gospel has been given to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And then Acts, verse 16 of chapter 3, by faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, so that faith comes through him. By him, that capital him is Christ. So by faith in Jesus, Jesus' name has been made this name this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him perfect health in front of all of us. We need to establish and understand, first of all, if we are going to pray in faith, that faith comes from God. It's not something that we can muster and manage on our own. We will not build it up under our own power. Faith comes from God alone, number one. Number two, we need to genuinely seek faith in Christ. Look at verse 17 of Mark 9 here. Verse 17 in verse 19. We see this man bringing the boy to Christ, and he says this, out of the crowd, one man answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you. So where did he bring him to? He brought him to Christ. And then in verse 19, we have Christ calling out for this response. And he says to him in verse 19, at the end, he says, after saying, you unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. After we realize that faith comes from God alone, we need to genuinely seek faith in Christ alone and answer that response that Christ has there of bring him to me. Bring it to me. Bring your need to me. Don't try it on your own over and over and over and over and over. Bring it to me. It's like realizing, looking down first of all and seeing that you have that harness on. That's the realizing where our faith comes from. Now that we've realized and we've looked down and seen that we have this harness on, it's like the next step of bringing it to him actually is the leaning back in the harness. I've always been taught that when you go up on one of those ropes course, it's a good idea to lean back in the harness just so you know that it actually holds you. And so you lean back. And so I've done that every time. I get up there and I hold onto my rope and I lean back and I go, okay, it holds me, but I still got that rope right there and I ain't letting go. That's the response I typically stop at. And the next one is this, number three, realize you are totally dependent on God and that you're undeserving of the faith he has given you. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, there's this response. Actually, we'll read 21 and 22. Jesus shows him his utter dependence on him alone. He says this, how long has this been happening to him? Okay, so how long have you lived in this dependence? How long have you lived in this state of mind where your son is just falling apart, where he is possessed by this demon? How long has it been? Well, it's been a long, long time, the man replies. It's been since childhood. From childhood, he said. And many times it has thrown him into the fire or water and destroyed him, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, this man finally realized how long he'd been in this state, how long he'd been stuck. And he realized that the only hope he had, if he was going to get out of this, it was going to be found in Christ alone. So he says, if you can do anything. And then he actually asks, also, have compassion on us. If we want to have a prayer of faith life, we need to realize that we are dependent upon Christ alone. And then we need to realize that the faith that we've been given is a gift that we have not deserved. Like this man prays, have compassion on me. This step of realizing our dependence and understanding understanding that we don't deserve it is like when you sit back in that harness and you finally let go of your hands. I haven't done that yet, but I imagine that it's like it's finally letting go. And you realize, this is the only way that I will enjoy this. This is the only way that I'll make it through the next step. Step number four is to actually pray for faith. Have you ever thought about praying for faith? A lot of times we come to prayer thinking we have faith, but have you ever actually thought about actually praying for faith? See, in verse 24, the man, after he says, if you can, and Jesus replies, if you can? What do you mean, if I can? Anything, everything is possible to the one who believes. And immediately, the father of the boy cried out, I do believe, help my unbelief. Do you ever pray that God will help your unbelief? And God will help to grow your faith. See, Christ actually sets the example of praying for someone's faith in Luke 32, verse 22. I believe it should be up on the overhead. Luke verse 32 of chapter 22 says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. This is when he's praying for Peter. And so Christ prays for Peter's faith that it will not fail, that it will not fall apart. So he sets this example of praying for faith. And we see this example of this man here in verse 24 of turning to Christ and saying, I do believe, I have a little bit of belief because I think my only hope and dependency is on you alone, but help my unbelief because I don't believe enough. I don't have enough faith yet. Help me. Have you ever prayed that? It's very similar to praying for the desire to do something or having the desire to have the desire to do something. A while back, I was struggling with being really overweight. And I started praying this prayer. Christ, give me the desire to work out. Because I had no desire to do it. I liked the idea of it, but I didn't really want to do it. And so it's the same idea here of praying for something that you don't have. Not for a bigger house, a bigger car, a better paying job, not all these things, but praying for a bigger faith than we have now. God, help my unbelief. Because there's so many times I come to you and I know my only hope is in you alone. I believe that. But I don't believe enough that you're going to do anything through this prayer, so please help my unbelief. I think so many times we come to God like that. God, I know you're my only hope. I know I'm so dependent on you, but I'm not sure you're going to do anything with this. Help me to believe. Help my unbelief. And then last, step number 5 of having this prayer of faith life is to rely on Christ for the results. In verse 24 through 27, we see the results. Immediately after the father had cried this, 25, when Jesus saw the crowd was rapidly coming together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then it came out, shrieking and convulsing him violently. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. How amazing is that? That Christ took this hopeless situation and took a man who knew his only hope was in Christ but didn't have enough faith, showed compassion on him, helped his unbelief, and the result was a boy that was healed, a life that was changed. And he went, and it looked like he was dead, but he was really raised up in Christ, because that was the only hope. That was the result of when Christ was relied on. So I want to have that kind of life. I want to kind of have that kind of prayer life. Just like on a ropes course, someday I would like to be able to walk on the rope and rely on the harness and every once in a while just lift my feet up for the fun of it and swing myself out and go, woo, woo, and trust that I'm not going to fall and go splat. I'd love to do that someday, and I will someday. I want to have that in my prayer life where I'm not trying it on my own, holding on. And I'm not gingerly sitting back going, oh, maybe, I think I'm dependent on this, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen. I want to let go and totally trust Christ. And when I get a little scared and I start to clench back, I want to pray, help my unbelief. Help me to trust you and you alone, Lord, because only through you is anything going to happen here. I want to have that as a church. I want to have that in my life. I want to have that as a family. Why does it take hitting a wall and coming to wit's end for us to respond that way? Lord, you are my only hope. And when I don't have faith, give me faith to trust in you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this example of this man who brought his son to you. Lord, many times in my life, I become very traditional in my prayer life, and I don't show much dependency because I only pray to you when it's kind of part of my everyday life, when it's part of something I should do. Lord, I don't want to have that kind of prayer life. Those are good prayers, but Lord, I want to show my dependency on you in every time I pray, every step I take, Lord. Father, when friends ask me, help me not to be one who just gives my own opinion and then walks on, but Lord, to bring them to you, to show that we are totally dependent on you alone. Father, I thank you for this example of this man that knew that faith came from you alone. And so he was willing to seek it in you alone, genuinely seeking faith in you. And then asking for that faith in you, Lord. They're relying on you, Lord, and seeing the results of what you did. Help us to have that type of prayer life every day, knowing that you will work, trusting that you are good. Let's pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.